Montigny Government Subcommittee to open a public hearing related to Senate Bill 5510. Let us know if we can.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do not have anybody in the audience representing the agency yet. So I am a little bit at a disadvantage here.
Okay.
Ah, there we are. Mr. Chair, we now have representatives of the agency. Does the agency have anything to distribute? Thank you. Mr. Chair, there are no budget packages related to this agency. Therefore, they are here simply to do an overview for you of their information technology budget. And if you would like, we can call them forward to walk through this material and answer any questions.
Okay. Please come on up.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, Committee Administrator Sherry Shun, Deputy Director of Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. With me is Cliff Pretty, Information Services Manager. We're here at the request of the committee to do a review of our information services budget. And as you will see in the presentation packet in front of you, we have outlined the budget proposal, all of which are in the proposed base budget for 0103 on page 2. And the breakdown shows personal services, which is the bulk of the budget, and then maintenance, data processing, hardware, software, and other services and supplies. And in the ensuing pages, we'll be happy to provide a little bit more information about what we intend to do with the money in any special projects. On page 3, it shows the 5 positions of the information services team, including a manager, network administrator, program analyst, desktop support person, and support and training staff. This staff level has been steady in the agency for the past 2 biennia. We have included a network diagram to show the kind of network equipment that the agency uses and how it connects with the Department of Administrative Services and the rest of the state. I don't know if you want any information related to the network diagram. We've outlined our current technical environment, which includes 135 desktop PCs, 46 laptops, a total of 181. We did a breakdown to show what's in Salem versus the Portland office. Each is a local area network, and then remote 12 sites of 12 field staff in different parts of the state whose primary workstation is away from either the Salem office or the Portland office. And they come into the Salem office generally on a once to twice a monthly basis to connect with us. And the total count is much higher than our FTE count, so we have included an explanation to show the reasons why and accounted for those computers that are in training rooms, shared for special applications, flying laptops that are used for people to check out for slideshows, et cetera. If you don't stop me, should I just continue? Great. The number of users in Salem, we use FTE to show the total count here. As you know, the department has its own program services to programs that we are responsible for direct delivery. But we also support, and within the agency's umbrella, have the Arts Commission, Tourism Commission, and Progress Board. So we have shown the number of FTE that are included in our support network. And that adds up to the 145 total shown on page 6. The ratio of information services staff to user is 1 to 29. And in addition, we have footnoted that the department staff also support the Oregon Water Enhancement Board, who lease office space on the third floor of the State Lands Building, one floor above us. So we provide support for their network connectivity, but we do not provide the other services. On page 7, a quick inventory of our operating environment. As you can see, that we're not doing anything technologically advanced. Our standard is Windows 98, and we are using Corel, Perfect Office, and Microsoft Office Pro 2000. We are in the transition time of migrating toward standardizing using Microsoft Office so we can connect and communicate with the rest of the world. And our standard rule of thumb is a 4-year replacement cycle for PC laptop, clearly depending on their condition and the needs. The major challenge to the department and where we focus most of our energy is in the management and use of databases. On page 8 and 9, we have shown an inventory of databases which we had at the beginning of the current biennium. And then show on page 10 what we have accomplished in this current biennium toward consolidation of these disparate databases. Essentially, in the center of page 10, we have consolidated 30 of the 40 formerly independent fund tracking databases into Microsoft SQL. And the remaining fund programs at this point are still providing data and reporting data into one database, but they're managed separately. We have recently purchased a new project tracking system, and that is in partnership with Department of Administrative Services, Parks, and Department of Transportation. And this program was developed in the state of Washington, and our consultant had determined through a thorough assessment that it has the best fit with our project management and data tracking needs. So in 0103, essentially our program is to continue with consolidation of the databases, make sure that the project management database integrates with the system management database, and upgrade our loan portfolio management software. And to conclude, we have listed on the final page, page 11, other accomplishments for this current biennium. And we have a separate document, which is a typed document, which included more specific responses to the list of questions that we're asked to respond in addition to this presentation. So I'm happy to answer any questions at this point.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
House, you call him to go and find another senator. Senator Duncan.
Stay at ease.
Alex, can we ask a question while they're
warm?
Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to know what you're doing to centralize your data or make that available to local
local economic development commissions and other people in the state and what you're doing for connectivity, especially to track, because they work on sets of projects as well as you're working on sets of projects. Are you working towards trying to integrate those so we're capturing economic development data statewide?
Mr. Chair and Representative Patridge, the department has done a couple of things this biennium and continue to work on further making available our database and integrating that with our partners. What we have accomplished this year were, one, we improved what we call community profiles, which is a web-enabled and web-access information about each community related to data that business extension and recruitment will need for, which contains information about infrastructure, tax environment, population, workforce, etc. And that has become significantly enhanced by working with communities, so the information is more complete, and now communities have the ability to input that information and update it as they need. The second thing we have done is for business recruitment and leads. We have an email group as well as a fax group distribution. So when the state receives leads or inquiries from companies about potential expansion, we get that information out to our local partners, which is mostly economic development districts, right away, and through that coordinate the effort centrally. If you're asking about exactly what are our partners working on in terms of deals related to the deals that we're working on, yes, that information is coordinated and shared, and that happens between our business development group and the local partners working on economic development.
But I guess that's a fault, Mr. Chair. But my question is they're working on it independently in their individual shops. Is there somewhere where that data is gathered, or are they working on it on their own separate systems? You guys are working on your separate systems, and there's no common data format or no common way that you're using this data to import and export.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, to my knowledge, when it comes to business recruitment and expansion inquiries and fulfillment, it most often happens as a coordinated effort. There are very few deals that happen at a local level that the state is not aware of nor involved in. And that's primarily because businesses tend not to go to a local community. They like to use the state as a clearinghouse. And I don't know if that is, if I'm getting at your question.
My question is, are we trying to move to some common databases so local economic development commissions and the other people around the state besides the state who are doing economic development, is there a model that you're suggesting that they use so the data is transferred back and forth? Do we have a common data format that they're using in order to send and receive the information? And secondarily to that, Senator Yee was just on, and I were just on down the hall with some people who are here, though I wasn't there most of the time, but on performance measures and other things. And my question is once we get that data in there and we're trying to track it, is there something that's being done at the local level that's tying into our statewide systems?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the common database is Microsoft SQL. We have purchased that and used that as the standard platform for all of our databases that we have consolidated into. In my report, I mentioned that we are continuing with the data space consolidation and will complete that in 0103. The local partners' information reporting into our performance database will go into the Microsoft SQL database. And at this point, so that's the standard database that we're using for managing all of the information input. In terms of how partners will provide information to the department, our approach is to use web-enabled functions so they can actually enter data to the department through the browser. And Cliff can provide more information if you're interested in the technical reasons for the choice behind Microsoft SQL and web-enabled reporting of data and receiving information.
Mr. Chair, I guess my issue, though, is you use one, somebody's using a set of tools to to do your recruitment and manage your project development piece on a project-by-project basis. Then I understand the state has a web-enabled reporting system. What I'm saying is you're having your project system that your management system you're managing, and then these local economic development commissions are then re-entering the data into your web-enabled database. My question is there something that, instead of double-entering it, is there something that you're providing as a tool? Is economic development providing a resource to these local communities to allow that data to, so they have a common management system rather than kind of a fractured management system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, I finally understand your question now.
Okay.
And the answer is the prison system that I mentioned that we have purchased in this current biennium, and using it as the base for project management and tracking, is one that has the web function. And so what prison does, once we have a fully integrated database, is one, no one has to repeat entering the same data again and again. It's enter once, and that's it. Secondly, the local partners will have access to the same database as we have in the department. And so we believe that not only achieves what you're looking for, but it definitely gets to an integrated database, everybody sharing the same information, and minimizing any repeat data entry, whether it's from the local source or within the department.
Okay. Follow up then. What's the prison system going to cost local commissions, economic development commissions? Are they going to cost them anything, or is the state providing this as a free service to all the all the people that are doing economic development statewide, whether it be like the city of Medford just hired an economic development professional in Medford,
mm-hmm.
in addition to what is being done by Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development. So who has access to it? What's the cost, and how are you working that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the purchase of Prism is a software. So
right.
We purchased software for our central office, and I'm going to ask Cliff to jump in here and say a little bit more about what the software enables us to do, and what might be the cost for partners. What we do know is we have to conduct training for the local partners so they can fully integrate into this new system of database access and reporting. And in addition, we know that their computer capabilities will have to be assessed according to what the new application would require. Cliff, do you have anything to add to it?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge. The PRISM system consists of two parts. It's something called a server part, something called a client part.
Could you introduce yourself for the
record,
please?
My name is Cliff Pretty. I'm Information Systems Manager at Economic and Community Development Department. Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the PRISM system consists of two specific parts, a server part which manages the database and manages the applications, and a client part which is installed at the workstations where people actually view and look at the data. The application is internet-enabled such that regardless of where a person is, as long as they have access to the internet, whether that's internally or externally, they can access this application. In terms of accessing our database, the client is that we would supply is it's a no-cost client. We can send it out with a CD, or they can download it and install it. There might be a cost for upgrading, for example, hardware to be able to run at a given level or something like that.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm just wondering. All you have to tell me is there's no cost. If that's the case, there's no cost to local jurisdictions for the client portion of it.
Nope.
That's all I'm trying to get to.
That's true.
Okay.
Any further questions? So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5510. Open a work session on Senate Bill 5510.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my one recommendation related to this budget is that you approve the standardized budget note that has to do with the transfer of the public web server or website to the DAS Information Resources Management Division facilities.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the LFO recommendation.
Representative Patridge moves the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations to Senate Bill 5510. Discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, no. So ordered. Any further issues? We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5510. Let's open up the public hearing on open the public hearing on related to Senate Bill 514.
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, you've got before you Senate Bill 5514, which is it includes the data integrity assurance project funding of $10.5 million, which is one thing you'll hear about today. And then the Department of Education has prepared its answers to the questions developed by the subcommittee, and they're ready to come up and talk to you about those.
Mr. Chair, I have a conflict of interest. I like this agency.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we'll take a conflict like that anytime. Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Dan Bunn, Superintendent of Public Instruction with offices at 255 Capitol Street. We appreciate very much the opportunity to come before you and present to you our data integrity assurance program and the budget around that, as well as some information on the database initiative. To my right is David Reich from the Department of Education, and on my left, Nancy Heiligman, also from the department, and they will present the detail around these projects. But I wanted to, briefly give you an overview, if I might, particularly of the data assurance project. But I wanted to assure you, Mr. Chair, and the members of the committee, that we look at this work around our technology as very much an integrated, comprehensive effort that is designed around planning and a clear vision. And I'd like to give you just a brief history on the data work that we've done and what we see as the importance of that work. You're all familiar with the database initiative that was really brought forward by this legislature, but I want to point out to you that it's allowed work that would not have otherwise been possible. The report card on schools, management work for schools, student performance in relationship to resources, and the work around the quality education model. In addition, with internal funds, we created what we call the database, the enterprise database, which has taken the separate databases in the Department of Education of student services, special education, OPTE, and others, and brought all of that database effort together in an integrated way that now allows us to do work across offices with a very different analysis. And Mr. Chair, those two efforts, the enterprise database and the database initiative, create a hub under which the whole effort around our data work has been built. And I want to suggest to you that the TESA project, which will allow us to do testing of students online and is out in pilot schools at the present time, is a critical addition. And then I just wanted to make the committee aware that the Department of Education has created a nutrition database with $720,000 of federal funds that is really a model for the nation, dealing with $93 million of food effort and 609 different food vendors. I would like to stress around each of those projects, Mr. Chair, that they either were completed or are in process on the timeline designed and in the budget designed. And I know that the question often rises in this committee as to whether or not an agency will meet the dollar requirements, will meet the timelines, and in each of those very important areas we have. I want to suggest to you what the Data Integrity Assurance Project will do for schools in the state of Oregon. First, it's $10.5 million and is anticipated to provide 70% of the funding for this effort, with 15% coming from the schools and another 15% from other sources. There are three main purposes for this Data Integrity Assurance Project. The first is to leverage current strong systems throughout the state of Oregon that are currently gathering data. Second, to create an effective technology gathering system for our SIM, CAM, PREP, PASS system. And finally, to assure that the data coming from schools is gathered, stored, and reported correctly. Now, let me suggest what I mean by each of those three things. The creating a strong leverage system. We are at a point currently today in the state of Oregon where our data collection in schools is either going to get worse or get substantially better. We have 23 different systems, 41 collectors of paper rather than a technology system, 156 submitters of that information. And what we would ideally like to present to you today is a proposal that we completely redesign this system, but that, frankly, would cost $80 to $100 million. So what we're proposing is...
Bruce has some money that they were trying to get.
All right. And we would be glad to have you that way. And we'll take any other you have. That obviously is not feasible, but what we do have the opportunity to do is identify and have identified 10 strong current vendors throughout the state. Now, we have the option of saying, let's build on that platform and leverage those strong vendors into a strong statewide system, or let's allow the system to become 80, 100, 150 different systems. We believe it's critical at this juncture to move to a unified, integrated system that takes those 10 strong vendors and builds on that. So the proposal has a uniform standard designed into the process in which each of those vendors would be able to come forward and design completion under that standard system, along with one or two additional vendors that aren't out there identified now, so that we can keep the creative element in this as much as possible. And it will move us from that tremendously diverse a group of systems into a uniform system that for $10 to $15 million really builds on what we have now versus letting it disintegrate. The OTIS system, which currently provides for 70 school districts, is going away. That's another reason that it's a great time to build a uniform standard system on a platform. In addition to that leveraging, it's critical that we create a system that allows us to do the CAM, SIM, PREP, PASS collection. There is no system in existence in the state of Oregon today that allows us to do that collection work. There are isolated pockets of activity. But if we're going to truly match up our K through 12 system with our higher education system, we've got to design the software and the interactions to be able to do that. And the vision ends with us having a student profile, an education profile, if you will, that allows a student to identify what they're accomplishing around SIM, CAM, and accomplishing around the PREP PASS work for entry into higher education, and is designed in a way that it can move from school district to school district successfully. And I want to remind the committee that there is a significant mobile population of students in this state that needs to have the capability of having their records effectively moved, not only through K through 12, but through the higher education system. In addition, while the database initiative created the state-level structure for quality collection of data, we need to assure through this data integrity assurance program that the methods of collection at the local level actually bring us the quality data that can be used by that state system. The end result of your providing this funding and this effort as a legislature is that we will be able to continue the work around accountability in schools financially at the state level, design of management work by local schools, a SIM CAM prep pass system that actually works, and leveraging a system that can either fall apart now or really move into the final stages of a quality system. And we would urge very strongly your adoption of this effort. I want to suggest that in my perspective as superintendent, in the priorities we have in moving efforts forward, this is one of the number one priorities to really allow us to do our job around the issues I've outlined to you today. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions or, at your preference, go on to the other two presenters, whichever you'd prefer.
Question in terms of that, of the $10.5 million, how much is built in here to replace Otis?
It's actually, I would describe it this way, and then David Reich can describe further. I would say, in one sense, not 1 cent of this is to replace Otis. What it's really used to do is to design leveraging of the current system, and Otis happened to fall apart at the time that that becomes more critical. But while we want to assure that those schools have a uniform system, it's not my interest or my primary concern that we're bailing out the Otis system. What my primary concern and our primary concern is that we are leveraging that current system to really move it to an integrated uniform system.
But I guess my concern is that that's exactly what we're doing, is that we are bailing out the Otis system. But my school district invested the dollars necessary to get themselves off of Otis, and they did that, and they took those dollars out of the stream of dollars given to them to educate their students. And now we come in here, my understanding is about some $4 million out of, or $4 to $6 million out of this package is specifically targeted to fund and finance school districts who hadn't bothered to develop a plan and get off of Otis, even though they knew they had to get off of Otis. And so we're going to go and fund that fix. Now, we can spin it any way we want in terms of what the good results of that is, and I don't argue with what the end results are, but I am very concerned here that, you know, other schools have had to make choices.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if what we were doing was funding an Otis fix, I wouldn't be sitting before you today because I'm not interested in that as our primary goal. It is laudable that Hillsborough moved forward with spending funds in this effort, but I want to say somewhat aggressively that Hillsborough, Eugene, Portland, no school district should be doing this work in isolation from the others. And what we want to do is assure that we have a common unified standard that all school districts can move towards, so that in fact Otis's solution is a byproduct of a much more important and critical effort. And to me, that is not spin, that's the reality of why we put this package together.
Mr. Chair, Stan, I would just be curious to what extent you have support from local school districts as you're moving forward on this particular plan right now?
We have very strong support. We met with school administrators early on as we were developing the work, and have gotten feedback constantly back and forth as we've been developing our work around this effort. I would not say that the support is so overwhelming that they'd like to take it out of the school fund, but it is sufficiently and strongly there to say that it's a critical need of the schools and has been identified as such.
I would not suggest that was the discussion I had with my school district. So.
That's what I was curious to see if what kind of response they were getting.
It's in the eye of the beholder. If you're getting the money.
Well, I can you remember when Otis, and I think you're trying to talk about something that's very different, too, and we probably, Otis may get in the way of the discussion
a
bit.
Mr. Chair and Senator Duncan and Ms. Heiligman can refer to this in more detail, but the Otis system was an outdated, antiquated system and would not work under this system in any event. The Hillsboroughs, for example, are going to need some significant help around SIM, CAM, past prep and the work we're doing there. And so I think this is not a question of those schools that have moved forward with funding and those that haven't. We, in fact, want to take the strong platform of those ESDs and school districts who have aggressively put together effort and build on that. That's the very idea of what is being suggested here. But what we don't want to end up with is 250 different systems that destroy the ability of mobile students, destroy the ability to connect with higher education, and destroy the ability to have uniform information.
Mr. I could continue. I just, as I said, I was, sort of, was around when Otis was coming into play and was superintendent of the county that elected not to, to go that route, so you had a lot of conflict at that particular time. And I think at that particular period of time, if you look at it, we were really talking about payroll, test scoring. I mean, it was a, when you think about late 1960s, early 1970s, very mundane kinds of things when you think of it, what the expectation is today. So, and people want to do their own thing, but now I think what we're talking about and the kind of information they need, I mean, districts need to be a part of this whole thing, and so I understand that. And that was probably one of the failures of Otis. It sort of was for those who bought into it, and so you never had a statewide. I think the dream of Dale Parnell in those days, what you would have a statewide system you could depend upon the information in one format and everything, and that never materialized.
Well, and Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, I would just remind you of the phenomenal difference between spending $80 or $100 million versus spending $10 million. And we're at a juncture where if we don't spend that money now, I believe we lose the opportunity to create a uniform, unified system.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dean.
Superintendent Bunn, what funding does the school, local school districts have to pay for this? You say it doesn't come out of school support.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the $10.5 million will be used, and it'll be explained here by David Beck in a moment, but it will be used both to create the uniformity, to create the work around the vendors, and then give some assistance to the local schools. And then we're asking them to provide some match to that. And then we're also seeking federal funding to help in it also.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
So what money the schools have to pay for the match funds?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a little bit tough, but it's not as tough of a small school district with 800 students trying to create a multimillion-dollar system.
Oh, so another question. So it'll be much cheaper this way than
because
for the school.
What they will have access to is one of these 12 vendors that has created the system, created the support, and designed so that they have the use of that system and they don't have to create their own system.
Mm-hmm. And they have enough funding from what the school support they have to pay for it.
Their answer might be that it's tough to find funding for anything today, but I would suggest that we believe that as we ask the state to come forward with 70% of the funding, that it was reasonable to ask them to come forward with 15% of the funding.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, with that, I'll excuse myself and turn it over to my two partners here. If you have really tough questions, I'm glad you have them.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Nancy Heiligman, Director of School Finance Data and Analysis for the Department of Education. And I'm here today to report to you on the database initiative project, and you did receive a handout that's a high-level summary of the project. The database initiative was initiated by the legislature in 1997, and it is a database for education that is a central relational database located at the Department of Education with school-level data that contains information on school funding, spending, staffing, school processes, student data, and then student results in the form of student assessment scores. And these data are available to the public via the internet. This was a mandate, as I said, in 1997, and it was really brought on by two things, the Oregon Educational Act and the shift in school funding from the local level to the state level, and the need for policymakers to have a very clear understanding of how schools were spending their money and what kind of results we were getting. The other challenge that the department faced at the same time was a very labor-intensive manual paper system for collecting data from the schools. Most of the data collected was at the district level and not at the school level. And once it came into the department and was entered into databases, these were disparate databases. Each office within the department had separate desktop databases that...
I guess my question is, I mean, we've heard a lot about the data, but I mean, has the education subcommittee, I mean, I don't sit on the education subcommittee, so I don't know either of Ways and Means or the policy committee. What are you generating report-wise that's going to be of benefit to me as a legislator? Do you have samples of those reports that you're going to generate for us to show us what we're going to be able to use as tools?
Representative Patridge, Mr. Chairman, we did not bring samples of reports for you today. We did do a brief internet demonstration last week for the education subcommittee, but I can, we'd be happy to provide a demonstration or some sample reports for you on Wednesday. But
I'd just like to see some reports on Wednesday of, are we going to spend all this money? What's it going to give me as a legislator to decide how I want to spend my money? I mean, we've had a bunch of people on pilot projects, I guess, or one biennium, or two biennium.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the first biennium was a pilot project with 16 districts, and in the last 2 years, we've extended that to all the school districts in the state. We have now data in our database, well, 3 years of data for our pilot districts and 1 year of data, 1999-2000, for all school districts and ESDs in the state. And that, again, is detailed data at the school level on spending, student demographics, resource allocations, things like class size, instructional time, student results, dropout rates, that kind of information.
Well, I guess my question is we've had that data. Has it gone to through the Ways and Means process? Has the Ways and Means Subcommittee, Education Subcommittee, used any of that data? Has anyone used any of the data?
Representative Hill, Chairman Hill, Representative Patridge, yes, the answer is yes, it has. The in fact, I just reported to the Education Subcommittee prior to this hearing and used a substantial amount of data from the database initiative in my report on the state school fund on trends in student, the ADM trends and the weighting formula, special education costs, some other kinds of data that, frankly, we didn't have available to us 2 years ago. We've also provided data to the Senate Revenue Committee, and the database is has been used to inform the quality education model, which the governor used in his budget to develop the K-12 budget for schools.
Great. I just want to make sure if we're building a big monster that it's being used.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I think this provides very important information for policymakers, but I think the real power in the database is in the use that educators are have available to them. Right now, the Department of Education is working with low-performing schools and has created reports so that we can find similar schools in terms of demographics and size and location, and provide low-performing schools with data about high-performing schools that are similar to them. And so there, I believe there are many uses, but the most powerful one is at the district and school level.
So what is the operational dollars that you've had so far to produce these reports? How are you doing?
Pilot project, for the first biennium, the legislature allocated $2.9 million for the statewide implementation. The 1999-01 budget allocation was $5.9 million, and the request for that is contained in the current service level budget for 2001-03 is approximately $5 million, and that is a phase out of approximately $919,000 based on the fact that the initial implementation has been completed.
I noted that you characterized that as a reduction. So I'm just, what is the operational? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, you've got a database, you've got a computer sitting over there. Are we buying more disk space?
Mr. Chairman, we have their staff and services and supplies budgets. I believe that you've received the detail on that in your packet. And that is to operate and maintain the database, and also to work on three initiatives that we have identified for next biennium. And the first is to improve our capability for analysis to support policy and decision making. The second is to continue to improve data quality, and I think this is probably going to be our major focus. As you heard Superintendent Bunn state, that the school districts need automated tools to collect their data and to do their business. In addition to that, we believe that the department needs to provide comprehensive ongoing training for school districts, both in how to transmit and format their data, but also just in how to collect it and what the data definitions are and standardizing those data collections.
Aren't those done? We've been collecting this data from these model districts, and that the whole intention of the $8 million we've already spent?
Chairman Hill, the main focus of the initial project was on consistency of financial data, and we recently had an extensive audit by the Secretary of State on the pilot project, and they found both that the database system runs well, that it's reliable, it produces accurate information. They also found that the financial data was consistent, and that it balanced to the audits and that they were looking at. They did register some concerns about the non-financial data that we're collecting at the school level. And that's information on students and staff and class size, those kinds of things. And I think we've really reached the school districts in terms of the district level staff, and we've done lots of training there. But the Secretary of State's audit pointed out that we really need to begin working with staff in the 1,200 schools if we're really going to have high-quality data. And so that it would be part of our focus over the next few years.
So can you I'm looking here at page 4, and I'm trying to understand how to read this. So when you have contractors and you plan on spending $2.1 million, on contractors, and then you go to the bottom of the page and it's sort of broken out. I'm trying to understand in terms of, are these people, DBA, database administrators? Are they application programmers programming?
top of the database, what exactly are they doing? Are these other people sitting out at a school asking them questions?
Okay. Chairman Hill, the contracting money would address both data quality, which I was speaking to, and then the continued integration with other initiatives in the department. And in terms of data quality, that would apply to the enterprise database integration, the pre-kindergarten database, and as well as other student-level databases in the department. And the database initiative is a school-level database and school and district level. And some of the data that we collect is collected and aggregated in these student-level databases, in the enterprise database within the department. So improving that integration will in turn improve data quality.
In terms of you're collecting data that's in a database, and then you're going to do what with it? Are you rewriting the database? Are you recollecting the database, the data in the database? In terms of, you know, you've real merged every database project you have into this one, you subsumed it in here, and I mean, I guess I question in terms of what exactly is $375,000 for an advanced database? Is that people?
Chairman, for the school finance database, that would purchase contractors to, and it would be a database administrator to model a school finance database. It would. And the purpose of that database would be to collect the factors that are used in distributing the state school fund. Right now, that is a desktop application, and the department is distributing almost $5 billion through the biennium based on basically spreadsheets. We need desperately a relational database that will contain that information. So this would include programming to build the application to run the school fund distribution, and database administrators to model that database. It does not exist at this time, as is the case with the pre-kindergarten database. It is there is no relational database at this point for that data.
Many years ago, I tried to do this, and you have to be kind of old in this room to remember it, but there was the handbook we were using trying to gather this information. And, you know, I was constantly asked by the legislature, what's it cost to do this, what's it cost to do that, and so forth. So we were trying to get this information. At that time, if you recall, it was really before the real computer kind of systems worked out. And it was a hand-based kind of a system. It absolutely wore everyone down. It was so detailed, and the work that went into it was just almost an impossibility. So I know what they're trying to get at here, because we weren't able to get at it. I was not able to answer the questions. Had legislators pound on me because I didn't have the information, but didn't have the ability to gather it. And so I look at what they're trying to do right now, because we all have an expectation we want those answers, and there's no way to get them. And I think that I commend you for moving forward, because, boy, I would have given anything to have been able to move in this direction. But it
wouldn't
have been done if that took the time.
Senator Duncan, I would agree with that some of those paper processes that you put into process are still in place in the department.
They're terrible.
And now, with the infrastructure that we've created with the database initiative, we have an opportunity to begin to automate these functions and to move into the 21st century. But manage our data.
Example, if I could, people often say, "What does it cost to teach mathematics at the fourth grade level?" At one point we worked it out, so you probably had to, we were all using digits at that time, you know, point such and such and such and such. You know, you had to go to about fifth place
to kind of get that information, because that's the kind of question you get constantly. And we weren't able to give that answer, so that's why I was using that particular example.
Mr. Chairman,
that's why I declared the conflict of interest beforehand.
I just want to be clear that you said the school finance database is so that you can have the school funding formula in a relation. $375,000 for a relational database to do that?
Chairman,
question is, isn't the report writer sophisticated enough in your current system to be able to write that? I mean, it's a fairly straight, I mean, the school funding formula, while complex, runs on just spreadsheets now, and I understand that. And while I understand that it's difficult to understand sometimes, I guess I'm just shocked that there's not a current report writer that's able to do this for less than $375,000. Can you tell me what report writer you're using, how it's working? I mean,
Chairman Hill, Representative Patridge, I think I'll ask David Reich to respond to your questions. And also, one question I haven't really answered yet is just kind of how this all fits into the big picture. And I think David has a better way of explaining that, so I'll ask him to step in.
For the record, my name is David Reich, Director of Technology for the Department of Education. What I would like to do is address a little bit of what Senator Duncan brought up, and then come back to Representative Patridge's question. When Senator Duncan was a superintendent at the department, if you go to your blue books that were brought over to you last week, at the very front page, you'll see these diagrams. This is the way the department's technology system looked when Senator Duncan was at the department. The lines that are on there represent actually disks that were sent back and forth in the mail. That's where we were. You can see our relationship to our external partners here. There are no lines. It was purely on paper. In August of 1996, and I start there because that's when I arrived on the scene at education, we had no web server. The LAN server was on a card table that we literally cleared off so we could eat lunch at noon. Then we had no other servers, and we had about 15 gigabytes of storage. If I could refer you to the next page, this is what we have today. Fully electronic interfaces, as integrated as we can make it, done over the last 4 years, tightly integrating our different projects. You'll see the database initiative project down here. You'll see the report card right here. The requests that are in our budget that Nancy Holligman is talking about are the green dotted lines and the yellow, and those are parts of the DBI phase-out that you have that are in the packet that was handed out to you, the booklet with the kid's picture on the front. On page 10 and 11, it describes each one of those that are in green on this sheet. And then there are some in green on this sheet as well. But I think the point the department is trying to make is that we have been good stewardships of the public dollars in creating an integrated system where we have single identifiers for all of our institutions, single identifiers for all of our students. We don't have just one database. We have multiple databases that are all linked electronically. They talk to each other. We refer to the database that has students in it as the enterprise database, and then the DBI that has aggregate data as the database initiative project. Where we are headed, and you'll see that with the green here, is to completely automate this process where the database initiative project will be fed by aggregate data that is collected about students in the on individual students and then fed in aggregate to the DBI to reduce redundancy. And we're just taking that model and we're driving it on through the department all the way down to the bottom to avoid and get away from the situation that Senator Duncan described when he was there as superintendent. Now, what I would like to say in relation to Representative Patridge's questions, there, the, all of the factors that drive the school formula are now handled manually and taken out of the database initiative project and other data collections and placed into, and then used in the spreadsheet to drive the payout of the $5 billion or whatever it turns out to be. What we want to do is automate that process. It'll be, frankly, an automated accounting system driven by data that is recorded through the database initiative project, and then provide a historical reference, which we also do not have at this point in time. So it is, although it is can be described as a database project, it's an accounting system that we're trying to automate so that we can have more fiscal responsibility and more integration with what we're doing right now.
Representative Patridge?
But that still doesn't answer my question about the $375,000. I mean,
sure.
There are lots of really expensive software and other things that are out there that have report writers in them, Crystal Reports, whatever report writing software is available. That $375,000 seems like an awfully big chunk to generate the same thing that's being currently generated by a spreadsheet that I assume you're pulling the data directly out of the database for, you know, and it'll give you the historical data and it'll give you everything else. So I'm just wondering, how flexible is our system, or is every time we're going to have to have a major program? I mean, $375,000 is a major programming initiative. And so my question is, you know, what are we doing different than having a flexible report writer that should have all this information in it to begin with? I mean, I assume you're capturing all this financial data.
Chairman Hill, Representative Patridge, this would in addition to the database, would also be an application for calculating the state school fund and integrating that with the database initiative. We do have a detailed plan for implementing the school finance database, and I would be happy to provide you with that. We did bring copies of that today, which we can leave with you.
Can I bottom line question then? Can't a report writer do exactly what you're trying to do here, some custom programming piece? I mean, I don't understand what the difference is, and you're going to have to explain to me what the difference is.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, if we were to use a report writer for this, it would involve a huge amount of manual work, which is what we do now with the spreadsheet. It's a very manual process of inputting this data and then trying to track it. It's also, we spend many, many hours proofing the data and double checking it because it is such a manual process. So I'm not aware that Crystal Reports or some report writer like that could do this kind of application. I believe it would have to be a custom application.
At the end of this, how many FTE are you going to eliminate as a result of this efficiency?
Chairman Hill, it's not clear to me that we'll be able to eliminate an FTE within this biennium.
So
during this biennium, we were able to eliminate a position, but I'm not sure that will be the case in the next biennium.
But if the workload is so complicated, we're going to go off and spend $2.1 million for contractors to come and build all of these things so we can be more efficient. Where's the efficiency? If it's working today and it's not broken, the ADMW, how many categories do we add up to come up with ADMW divided in by, write the check? I mean, is that quarterly? How do we send out checks? I mean, it's not we could be really efficient and just send all the money out at once if we had it. But I'm trying to simplify this, but in terms of you painted a picture, but where's the efficiency on the other side?
Mr. Chairman, I think, two things. In terms of distribution of the school fund, we make estimates to the school districts five times a year, and I believe that the biggest efficiency would be in getting more timely, more accurate estimates to the school districts. The volatility that they experience now in the school fund is largely based on our ability to estimate accurately, and I believe that we need to improve that. As far as the $2 million investment and what do we get from that, again, I think it's timely, accurate data for policy decision-making and decision-making at the school level. And I would argue that over time, as we get better data and we learn how our schools are functioning, that policymakers will have the information they need to target funds and resources where they'll make a difference. Right now, we don't have that information. We don't know where dollars are best spent in schools, and
Sarah,
we're getting results.
Sarah Duncan.
Mr. Chair, you may have started answering my question. I was going to ask you, it seems to me like there's a lot of talk about the basic school support fund, but I guess I'm seeing this beyond just getting the quarterly checks out. I'm seeing, because what we were trying to get years ago and we couldn't get, and I don't think you're getting it today, is better information. And so, you know, I keep saying, keep hearing this, we're sort of going all the time about getting the checks, you know, timely getting the checks out and the estimates out. I guess I'm looking for better information, better data, and that's going to be good for policymakers and trying to make some big decisions that I know you get hit on over here by the legislature. So I just was hoping you might respond to that a bit more.
Chairman, yeah.
Beyond just quarterly reports.
Senator Duncan, yes, I think the school districts would tell you getting those checks is very important.
I understand the importance of
that. But you're right. The ability to have timely, accurate information will give policymakers what they need to make prudent and wise decisions with very limited resources. And you're right, we don't have that now. We've made some good strides towards that. I believe Oregon is only one of four or five states that has school level data at this point. Many states are trying to get there, but we have made huge leaps that I believe will support the accountability that the public is demanding and that the department feels very much responsible for. And that's accountability in terms of understanding how our dollars are spent and what results we're getting.
How many FTE do you have currently?
In the database initiative project, there are 13 FTE.
How many contractors?
Representative Hill, at this time, we do not have any contractors. The phase two of the project has been completed.
Then how many do you anticipate with the $2.1 million?
Mr. Chairman, I would expect that would range from 6 to 12 contractors, depending on the timing.
You've broken out the contractors in these different database components. Are you running these as separate projects?
Representative Hill, there are detailed budget contractors in your book. Page 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 10 list the man months and staff that we'd be looking at.
But are you looking to run these as separate projects?
You mean manage them separately? Yes.
Okay, but I'm just curious in terms of why don't you do this as an integrated process where you have a database. And you have your data set, which is for your school finance database, your pre-kindergarten database, rather than having a DBA for this one, a DBA for that one. It seems that you could make this a lot more efficient if you just ran it as a single process. I'm assuming you have a DBA.
Chairman Hill, I would see that these would be separate modules, but in an integrated project. I agree it wouldn't make sense to split each one of these off and do them separately. But we have planned them separately and broken them down in detail, but I would see them as integrated projects.
But did you budget them as an integrated project? So in terms of, so you're relying on your DBA that you already have on staff, so you don't need to hire a DBA, and once you get the data scheme, into the database, then you have your report writer generate a report in terms of out of the database. So, I mean, I'm sort of going towards where Representative Patridge was going in terms of it sort of seems here that we're going in down a path to develop individual applications on each one of these levels rather than simply creating a database, putting the information in it, and then saying, there we go, if this warrants some sort of web-based application to front-end it, then go that direction. But if it's a report that we run five times a month, or five times a biennium, you know, why are we going to go spend $375,000 writing an application if the data in five times, you know, we have somebody go punch a button and print out a report?
Mr. Chairman, because of the complex nature of the school finance database, I would see that as a separate application, but that would be linked to the other databases. I see it really as a transactional database, which is different than the database initiative itself.
But, I mean, it's running on the same instance. You may have a separate instance running, but you have it on the same system you already own. So we don't need to go out and buy, we may need to go buy new disk. I'm trying to get a sense here in terms of what the plan is. I mean, it seems like an awful lot of money. What are the 13 people doing that you have sitting there? How are they integrated into these plans? So in terms of if I were to sit there and say the DBI enhancements, which that doesn't tell me what that means, you have 13 FTEs, what are they doing? Then you're going to have $500,000 of the contractors come in to do something else.
Chairman, Representative Hill, you can't go from this picture to this one without planning. The department has put a tremendous amount of planning into our applications to be sure that they all work together. We have broken them out to present them to you and budgeted them separately, but for example, one of those 13 people is the DBA who is in charge of this entire thing, and nobody can do anything without his sign off. And then we look at each application to see if it makes sense. And you can see on this chart the pre-kindergarten is part of this database over here because it has student-level data in it. The legislature has asked us for some particular information about pre-kindergarten students. Those are individual students. So that will be integrated over here. The DBI enhancements will be integrated down here with this database. So we have looked at each one of these projects, fit them into the overall, and put them where they should be, where they belong. But we work very tightly across the department to be sure that we don't have any redundancy or isolation or waste of resources.
So all 13 people are focused 100% on database initiative projects. Have no other resources for anything else.
Chairman Hill, you cannot, again, have a DBI and put that into and just plop it into what you have and not expect that it reaches everything. If you want the DBI to operate so that it is available for the data is available for the report card, you have to plan and work on the report card in tandem with the DBI. The DBI is such a large and important project to the department. The department had no IT resources to speak of when the DBI was authorized by the legislature. So when we got that, it was an opportunity for us to build our infrastructure from the ground up, where we did not want to just build the DBI without looking at everything else, it would have failed. You have to look at what you have.
So then how does the $4 million in the cost option package for the data integrity project meld into this, since that's sitting on a database, and I'm assuming it's the same database?
Chairman.
For instance, but a physical, I say data, physical box. Database.
Chairman Hill, that you said database, the data integrity?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, could I ask you to repeat your question?
So how does the $4 million you're going to spend on the data integrity project meld back into this? Because
data integrity is 10.5 million. Am I misunderstanding?
6.6 you're sending out. So you're not spending that. You're sending that out to district.
Chairman Hill, actually, of the database of the data integrity package, 9.7 million is paid in ADMW to districts. I'm not sure where you got that number, but there is 550,000 that is used for the actual certification process and standard setting process, and 330,000 for the Oregon Access Network, and the rest of the money goes to the ADM in ADMW to districts.
So how does it flow back in?
Chairman Representative Hill, how does the money flow back?
How does it mesh back up here in this database initiative where we have all this wonderful data that we're going to be able to touch? We spend $10 million and send it out to the school districts.
Chairman Representative Hill, the data integrity project is separate from the database initiative. The data integrity project is focused on improving the quality of the data that is in the districts, the gathering and the quality of that data, improving it. And then it comes back to the department in that manner. Is that, am I right in characterizing what you're referring to? And how does it?
I'm trying to put these two things together.
Right. Well, Chairman Hill, the data integrity project and the database initiative work very well together because, as the audit pointed out, what we have done is we've built a database initiative project that handles the financial data and handles the non-financial data very well. The audit pointed out that the actual gathering of the data from the systems in place in the school districts was in need of improvement.
So we're going to spend $10 million to improve data collection.
The Chairman, Representative Hill, the nature of the data integrity project is that it will create certified data centers that then will follow standards established by the department for reporting data and setting quality standards for that data to be reported, so that, for example, items are all collected, treated, and defined the same, transmitted the same.
So how many data centers are we going to go on fund?
The process, Chairman Hill, the process that the department will use, first we'll use the rulemaking process, but the money goes to the individual districts after they've been approved through a consortium process. So the districts would form around a data center in a consortium, and then when the consortium application was approved, the money would flow out to the district. What the districts then gain is the expertise and services of a very large district at a cost that they can afford. Smaller districts cannot afford top quality systems that are certified and meet department statewide standards. This would mean all of your rural districts, all your small districts everywhere would have advantage of the same department standards. What this would do is reduce the number of inputters and submitters to the department, therefore eliminating the number of errors. Every time there's a change, it reduces the number of data inputs that have to change. So it is the opportunity for the department to provide leadership to the districts that, frankly, we haven't had this opportunity before. We haven't exercised this opportunity before. with the moving of school funding to the legislature, it has become the department's role to provide leadership to the districts. And part of that, then, is leadership and quality data submitted to the DBI that then is used to make decisions about spending the $5 billion in basic school support.
So they reduce this down to its minimum. They're going to spend $10.5 million. They have, is it 12? So you're hoping to get to reduce it to 12.
Chairman, Representative Hill.
Data centers.
Smaller is better.
You're anticipating.
Because we already know there are 8-10 strong centers out there that will probably want to remain centers. There are two centers that want to combine, which we think is a great idea, and because then we get even better service, stronger strength through the consortium. We believe that we will probably wind up somewhere with 12, yes.
Mr. Chair, give me an example of a center that exists now that wants to remain.
Well, Salem, Kaiser, Lynn Benton, Lincoln, Clackamas, ESD, Portland, would all meet the definition, assuming they want to turn in their consortium application and be a part of that, yes.
So now we've got 12. So we're spending $10.5 million to get to 12. And then those 12 are going to do something which is going to then assist how many schools, whatever schools they have underneath them. Are they going to develop a web-based application for data entry? Are they going to just be taking data extracts out of the database and then combining them and then sending them up to the Department of Education in terms of how do the data inputs get into these 12 centers?
Chairman, Representative Hill, well, one of the first things, and if I could refer you to page 73 or page 4 behind the data integrity tab. It lists the different activities that would take place as a part of the data integrity package. One of the first things that I believe is the SimCam Pass diploma, which the department would set the standard for that kind of a system, whatever that system is. Now, I believe that system will be in the centers, operated in the centers, and provide help for the teachers and the students to see where they are in the process at any point in time in meeting one of those four requirements, SIM, CAM, PASS, or diploma.
Have any ESDs developed such applications that already exist?
Chairman, Representative Hill, there have not been any what I would call successful applications to date.
So we're going to go spend, $11 million?
Chairman, Representative Hill, there's a suggested $2.4 million for development of that.
Okay, and so what's going to, how much have the other districts spent in the past to develop unsuccessful projects?
Chairman, Representative Hill, I do not know that.
So what do we have that guarantees that the $2.4 we're going to spend is going to be successful?
Mr. Chairman, I think there is a real benefit to developing a single system and working with these 12 data centers so that they're not all reinventing the wheel. We have had several centers who have developed a SIM system, a SIM tracking system, but what they need to develop over the next 2 years is one that will track SIM, CAM, PASS and PREP progress. And so this is something that doesn't exist now. And rather than have several districts out on their own trying to do this, this would provide funding and a structure so that we would get joint development and have a single system.
So if you figure out where I'm going here, why don't you just do this yourself? I don't understand why we distributed out ADMW. And then you get the luxury of just writing rules. Why don't we just fund the department, build an application, and in conjunction with the 12 data centers, in terms of figure out what the best way to do this, in terms of it would seem to me that, if I was going to start off, it would be a web-based application, that would be something that would be interactive. I mean, I'm just trying to understand the logic here of, on the one side, we're spending $5 million on a database initiative to get a bunch of data, and then we're going to go spend, you know, $10.5 million. We're going to distribute it out in the hopes that someone's going to come back and work with you. So out of the 10, we've got 2.4.
Mr. Chairman, one thing maybe we haven't described to you yet is that there would be a committee that would work with the department that would have representatives from school districts, ESDs, and the Department of Education to administer these grants. And the department would have rulemaking authority, and this committee would work closely to administer these grants and make sure that these dollars are well spent, and that the districts are working together, and that we're actually getting certified software out there, and that the centers are adhering to standards. So there would be this whole certification process in place that many states have in place now, and Oregon has not done that up to this point.
I guess that's right. I'm trying to understand here why we would go spend $10.5 million to get $2.4 million to come back, then we're going to run a, you know, such a critical project, and we're going to run it by establishing and writing administrative rules, and then we're going to put a committee together to help get that input for what those rules ought to be. Why don't we just take $2.4 million, put it over the department, and say, why don't you develop this system and then make it available to all the school districts and tell them, use it?
Chairman, Representative Hill, the database of the students that has the information that would feed the SimCampus system is in the data centers. So making a single system housed in the data centers holds the cost down. If we ran this centrally, I would have to have staff. I would have to have a staff request to you. I would have to have a maintenance budget to you. The cost would be significantly higher than it is now if we allow the infrastructure, if we leverage our installed base that is out there in those data centers. They already have help desks. They already have their connections set up with their districts. And what we do is make sure that the system that's developed operates in each data center and can transfer the record from one to another, so it holds the cost down. That's the concept behind the whole request.
So that if all we're going to do is set data transfer standards in terms of, I could figure out a way to do that for a lot less than, you know, $10.5 million.
Chairman, Representative Hill, it's not just data transfer standards, although that is part of it. That would be one of the, that's a good example of a standard that the department would set. But we're also talking about a system that gathers information about students' knowledge, skills, and abilities, that they're where they're going to go with SIM and CAM, and what they need to fill that in. And I'm not an educator, so I cannot do that justice. But there is other information about the student that is put into this database that is not even captured now. So that's what the expense is, to gather the additional information so it can be tracked.
You understand, though, I mean, Jim, this doesn't make any sense. I don't get a sense that you're going to be able to come and say here, we're going to be successful in this, because you're dependent upon, you know, 200-some-odd school districts deciding that when they want to do this, because conceivably you could have 200 contributors to this. And so you're setting up a system where we're going to set standards. We're not going to have an application. So everyone's going to develop their own application, which is then a bunch of duplicative work of the balance of the $10 million that you're going to send out, rather than us just simply saying, you know, if we can do all of these great things here for 2.1, why don't we take it and double that? And, you know, there's 4.2, and create a database, and you know, and then worry about how you get data transferred in.
And, Chairman, Representative Hill, we will control the process through the consortium process, where the planning takes place up front, and we will only have a limited number of centers. So we won't have 200 separate submitters.
Okay.
Chairman Hill, a district would not be eligible to receive any of the $6.6 million unless they joined a certified data center. So a district is not going to be able to have access to that $12 per student if they are not part of a certified data center.
Okay, if you go to do a small district, how does $12 times, 300, how does that make enough money for them to, do this?
Chairman Hill, it isn't a large sum of money, but it is to these districts' advantage to be able to join a data center, and this provides an incentive for the data centers to bring these small districts in that up until now.
I still don't understand why you just don't build the system and say, here it is. I mean, this just looks like a disaster to me in terms of, because, I mean, I don't see success coming at the end of this. I don't see anyone sit there and say, we will have a system, it'll work, because there's nobody in charge. You're in charge only through the rules that you can generate and the willingness of people that you've already given the money to actually come back and do it, unless they come back and say, no.
Chairman Hill, I believe that having one overall state system is a worthy goal. I just believe that at this point that it's not affordable. It is in the $80 to $100 million range, and implementing a large statewide system is risky. There are certain risks that have.
$100 million project, but how are you buying it for $10 million? So if that's the way, we could do a lot of things by just distributing out money to the school districts. Because they can be highly efficient. I mean, it's either $100 million or it's not $100 million. Well, you can't take $10 million and turn it into $100 million just by distributing it to ADFW.
Chairman Hill, I'd like to build on David's point that we're leveraging our installed base. And you used an example, your district, Hillsborough District, which has done a lot of work on their technology, has a strong system, and it wouldn't make sense to me to replace that system at this point. But if we can fund these centers to provide some upgraded software to get some of this student accounting software into the classroom so that teachers have desktop systems available so they can understand their students' progress and so that they can begin to use web technology to understand the results they're getting on a day-to-day basis, then I think we have really leveraged this money and made a wise use of $10 million.
Is this supposed to be a one-time expense? Or is this, are we going to have a big budget roll-up?
Chairman Hill, Representative Patridge, on page 4, if I could refer you back to that again. The 0305, there's a $1.9 million anticipated expense. 3.5 would be a school district share. Now, we should remember the school districts are already paying for whatever technology systems they have. That's the installed base. The amount we want to leverage is what they've already paid. So that there would be a 1.9 continuing to next biennium.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. So I guess I'm confused about, I still remain confused about this, I guess. So there will be no pass-through except the $1.9 million in the future? Are you saying everything above the
1.9?
The 10.5? I'm just trying to understand how this money is passing through.
Certainly. Representative Hill, Representative Patridge, the funds, even in this situation, the 1.9 continue to be ADMW funds that go directly to the districts that are participating in the consortium. The consortium is important because it allows us to guide and approve their plans as they join in the data centers. The certification part is important because it allows us to say these data centers meet standards established by the department for transmission of data, storage of data, data naming, item identification, and so on. and it provides incentives to the districts to join in those consortia because it is distributed on an ADMW basis.
Okay, I guess I need to have you explain to me how that's going to work in reality. I understand the problem anytime you have a top-down kind of a system. You know, you have all of a sudden Salem thinks we know best, and you're working with independent local school districts, and that's always a challenge. Okay, you do contract out or you do pass through, so you're using these centers and they're following standards that you've established, right? Okay, but in the end, are they all going to look different? In other words, how are you going to get a statewide picture? Okay. Are you going to look for the best of those so eventually you end up with one system? What's the process there? I don't think I understand that one.
Chairman Hill, Senator Duncan, first of all, let me say we're already doing this with the database initiative. We already have a standard set for the transmission of the data. What we don't have are standards on the other end, but we do have a standard for the transmission of data. So every data collection that we anticipate collecting now and in the future, ones that we have now and other ones in the future, we will standardize so that districts know how to send those in. So that, I think, answers the first part of that question. In terms of the data centers, all of the data centers, the leverage, the base we intend to leverage is disparate in a sense. Each one has been developed. It's both its strength and its weakness. Each center has its own architecture, as we would call it. So they have their own internal systems, their own internal software. What we want to be able to do is help them use what they've got to create what we call, in IT terms, an output to us that has integrity, that can be relied on, that's timely, using what they already have. We can't take what they have and throw it out. We've already determined that that's the $100 million price tag. What we want to do is take what they have, give them the standards and the help they need to change it so the outputs have the quality and integrity that we need.
Okay, that's true. And if I understand, if you were starting from scratch, you would do it differently. What you're trying to do now is to salvage what's there and the best of what's there. Is that what I'm hearing?
Chairman, Representative Hill, Senator Duncan, yes, that's exactly it.
Are you going to, in that process, will you be filtering out things that are not good?
Chairman Hill, Senator Duncan, yes, that's exactly right. We'll take the best.
And then the goal is to have some ownership in it.
Excuse me?
The goal would be that districts would have some ownership in it, rather than a top-down kind of a situation.
Chairman Hill, Senator Duncan, yes, that's exactly right. The money flows as ADMW, and then there is a committee of data centers, ESPs, and the department that meets so that the department for years has dictated, so what that has amounted to is unfunded mandates to these data centers, and they just don't have the resources to meet them. This will eliminate that as well.
Okay. We will end the conversation there, and we'll be back on Tuesday. So without objection, we are adjourned.